Hello, everybody. Hi. So can we unmute the rest of... Oh, let's see. Oh, yes, right. Getting that part handled. Okay, and we got to turn the music off. Hey, very good. So, Devin, let's unmute those who are here right now. And let everybody
hello.
Say hello.
Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. Good morning.
Hi.
Good morning.
Morning. All right. So, Devin, we ended up having kind of a strange thing happen yesterday where some of the people didn't get on the call. So you want to talk about what occurred from the office point of view? I can't hear you, Devin. Devin, you're not coming.
Okay, sorry about that.
Okay,
I was trying to put everybody else on mute, and I put myself. Yeah, so we're actually not 100% sure what happened because when people sign up for the workshop, we send them a letter of confirmation, and then they're able to register with Maestro, which is the platform we use for the call. And then whoever wasn't registered yesterday before the call, I registered them and emailed them their phone number and PIN just to be extra careful. But for some reason, they didn't get it. It looks like everybody on the call today are people who were here yesterday. So I think I see maybe one person who wasn't able or wasn't on the call yesterday. But yeah, so unfortunately, we may have some people who didn't make the call yesterday. Is there anybody here that wasn't on the call yesterday?
Raise your hand by hitting a one.
Sorry. Yeah.
By hitting one on the keypad, if you want to raise your hand to say that was you who wasn't on the call yesterday. All right.
Okay.
Not seeing any responses.
Yeah, an odd thing. I'm not quite sure what happened. Yeah, maybe it was their intention to just listen to the recordings.
Yeah,
in case
that
you
could,
guys, yeah.
That can work very well for people.
Yeah.
I've heard, you know, wonderful results, people just listening to the recordings and utilizing the information. And some people are just in time zones that are very awkward for listening to the live broadcast.
Exactly. So yeah, it's just, I'm going to say it, you know, across the board here. If for whatever reason you're not hearing any correspondence from us, please reach out, whether it's by email or phone, and let us know so that we can assist you.
Okay.
And that's it.
So I think what I like to do on Sundays is to kind of ask a general question to begin with and find out how far you took your work, the process. So for those who got all the way through the entire process into the explosive self-love, press 1 on the keypad. Those who got stuck on forgiveness and just weren't able to get through the forgiveness, press 2. Those who felt like they got stuck on remorse, press 3. And anybody who is processing the emotions and feels that they need more time, which is totally appropriate, press 4. And anybody who didn't start the process, press 5. We'll get a sense of what's going on here. Okay, so what we have is we've got the majority of you have gone all the way through the process. One person mentioned that they were still working on the release, which is very appropriate because it's a big deal to have released the stuff. And I think a few of you may not have responded, so that's okay. So Let's start with the people who, I see what it was. I think everybody did respond, just you and me, Devin, didn't respond, so that's where the statistics came in. All right, why don't we start with the people who went all the way through the process, and if you'd like to tell us about, why don't you put the hands down at the moment.
Okay.
If you'd like to share what happened in your process, it's really valuable for other people to hear it. Plus, I have a lot of commentary and insight sometimes that can be useful as well. So raise your hand if you'd like to share your process. You don't have to tell us your story, but you can share your process. So hit one if you'd like to talk about it. Okay, we have somebody who'd like to share something.
Susan?
Yes. I spent the whole afternoon doing this process and part of this morning, and I have to say that it's hard work. I was exhausted. I felt tired.
Hard work.
Yeah, and I don't think it's for the, you know, the weak-hearted. You really have to go there. And
right.
I took the evening off and did take care of myself by watching a movie. I was tired. And then so I got up this morning and completed the process and the forgiveness process. And it's very powerful, sitting and facing yourself and seeing yourself and loving yourself. And, you know, I really didn't want to feel those feelings. That's why they were stuck in my hand, in my wrist. I didn't want to let go.
Yeah, and exactly.
And I think I know why, because it was overwhelming at the time.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get everything done that I needed to do so at the time. And that's like 2011. That's a long time ago. I've been carrying this a long time.
Sure.
And it's been blocking my life in more than one way. And I am so grateful. I sat and cried in gratitude about, and still feel that way, of the gratitude I feel for this process and for the opportunity to work with it. I could see helping other people with this process. I don't know how to go about that, but I could see a lot of people could benefit from this. And just some amazing things already have started happening. You know, I feel closer to the ones that I love. I feel closer to my son who called. I mean, there's just so many ways that it's just like this light sparkling inside of me now. So, thank you very much.
You're so welcome. Let's talk about this a little bit, because you bring up a lot of really good points. First off, and I think I tried to warn people in advance about this process. It isn't for the, you know, the casual person. This is somebody who really wants to grow, and it's not easy. This isn't an easy workshop like, you know, Quantum Touch 1 is just really easy. One friend said it's like falling off a log. It's just really easy to do. This requires real work, and you have to be willing to look at blind spots, and blind spots are by definition invisible. They're the very things we didn't want to experience because, as you said, they were overwhelming. And so you also brought up the idea that you wanted to be able to help other people with this process, and we're very excited about that too. In fact, since I brought this process forward, as soon as I understood all the steps of it, I didn't really have the time or inclination to figure out how a practitioner program would operate, where what would we want people to know other than just how to do the session in terms of healthy boundaries and everything else, and what kind of counselor status and all the legal ins and outs and everything else. I'm not a bureaucrat, so I tend not to go there. But I do see the vital importance of having this be like a health profession, where you can hold somebody's hands and protocols of doing that, where you can help walk a person through their steps. Because I'm calling it self-created health now, because most of the work is something you do with yourself by yourself. But I can also see in the future that it could be possible that a person can do their processing with a little help from a friend and somebody kind of holding their hand and say, no, you can do this and stay with it. And there was a story told by one of my students who said that she and her friend were both professional counselors, and they were using self-created health on a woman who had been clinically depressed for at least 5 years. And in the first session, they helped her figure out what the anger behind the depression was really about. And the second session, they helped her get through the remorse and the forgiveness, the insight, remorse, and forgiveness. And she was so stuck, and she was saying, I can't do this, I can't forgive this. And they said, no, you can, just stay with it, stay with it. And then after another 5 minutes, she popped out through to the other side, where she was in touch with the self-love, and it was explosive, and she has not been back living in the depression anymore, because that, you know, the depression is not from a lack of antidepressants, it's from a lack of honest expression of anger. So,
right, and that's a powerful example of a shift, of a spiritual, emotional shift that catapults you into a new kind of life.
Exactly. And so how's the wrist now?
My wrist is so much better. It used to be stiff and hurting and inflamed, and I woke up this morning, it wasn't stiff, hurting, or stuck and inflamed. It would move. And then as I did this forgiveness work, now I'm using it in a very fluid fashion. It's not tired. It went into spasms yesterday when I just did the first part where we're finding the emotion. Yeah.
You know what I call that? I think of it like if you tune into a radio station and you're really close to the center of that station, you can get a big, strong signal. And that kind of tells you you're on track. You're getting a signal there. The wrist is responding to what you're doing. It may not have released yet, but at least it's telling you. When I first started doing self-created health counseling sessions, I remember... I would help a person, this is before I knew all the seven steps, I would help a person find the emotional cause, and then I'd have them start to do some release work while I was making tea. And I'd come back 10 or 15 minutes later with the tea, and I'd say, oh, by the way, how are your symptoms? And they'd notice that the symptoms had shifted by about 30, 40% all the time. I didn't really understand how the rest of the steps fit together, and that was kind of a mystery to me for about 25 years. But, and then here's this other thing that I really like to mention, which is once you now know these seven steps in the specific order that they're in, they become really obvious. It's like, well, how could it be any other way? Of course you have to know what the emotion was. Of course you have to release it. Of course you have to take responsibility and then feel the remorse for what you did and forgive yourself. Of course, how could it be any other way than this? But it wasn't obvious, you know, because you look at all the other psychotherapeutic modalities out there, and they're not doing this. And you wonder, how could something so obvious be so hidden for so long from so many bright people? And I think the answer to that question is that very bright people are often bright enough to figure out a way not to have to feel all their emotions.
That's true.
And so, if you don't want to feel what's there, which I'm still guilty of much, a lot of the time, you know, then you can hide it from yourself. And so I'm still confronted by my own process when I'm stuck and my own resistance to having to do the work that you did yesterday. And congratulations, very big congratulations, because it takes a lot of courage. This tech, you know, we should put that in the advertising. This is a workshop that takes courage. Not that you're going to embarrass yourself in front of somebody else, but that you're going to have to really get to know yourself in a way that was challenging. You're going to see the blind spots that have been invisible to yourself.
Well, you have to clear a space also in your time. You know,
yeah.
I cleared the whole weekend to do this. And you have to hold a space, a loving, safe. You have to be in a loving, safe space. Do the work too.
Or a willing space anyway. The love will come, but a willing space.
A willing space.
Yes.
It's hard, though. It was hard. I seriously was sweating yesterday.
Yeah. It's hard work. And if you want to, you know, write something up that we could put, like, in a newsletter or to help people feel inspired to actually want to learn and do this work, we'd love it because because we're really looking to get this out there, and it's just not understood or appreciated yet on a depth or magnitude because, you know, people are lining up to go to all kinds of strange events in the world. And, you know, outside about a block away from where I live, they just opened a Dunkin' Donuts. And for 2 or 3 weeks, there was lines down the street for people trying to get into the donut shop. But somehow Dunkin' Donuts seem more popular than self-created health.
It's easy to go get a donut. It's hard to change your life.
Yeah. Yes, it's easy to get a donut. There it is. You got it.
It'll make you feel better for a minute.
Yes, exactly. Well, not me. I think I feel nauseated even at the sight of the thing.
Yeah, me too. I've gotten to that place. But I remember those days when I liked to just get a donut and it made me feel better for a minute.
Yes, it does make you feel better for a minute. If you can handle the grease and the fried bread and all that and the sugar.
Well, you've evolved a little bit, quite a bit from that. So
I understand. I'll tell you, it's interesting because the constant evolution of my diet, trying to do something a little better every single week of my life, has put me into a rather rarefied position.
Right.
So it's, always trying to improve it every single week, see what else I can do that would be a little better than the week before. And it's, and now I'm, not that this is completely off topic, but it might be of interest that I find that the number of calories that I need every day has probably dropped to about 700-800 a day. And because I'm getting such high nutrition and my body's living partly on prana, I'm getting some of my, not that I'm a breatharian, but I think everybody is, whether they're 1% McDonald's eater or a 100% just completely living on prana. But that's for another topic on another workshop.
Yes, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. It's an energetic change, and I'm starting to feel that too.
Well, as you continue doing loving things for yourself, as you have, what you're going to see is that you just keep making good changes because that's the next loving thing to do. And as you gave up the donuts and noticed that you felt better, when you give up other things that are pretty good food but not the best, you're going to feel even better and better. And you sacrifice the short-term pleasure of the donut for the long-term pleasure of feeling really healthy.
The gift of self-love.
Yeah, it's all self-love.
This changes the world every single time someone moves and shifts in that direction.
Well, congratulations.
I want to be part of this.
You are. Stay in touch and please, you know, help other people know about this work too.
I will. I'll write that paper for you.
Oh, thank you so much.
That.
All right, great. Okay, who's next?
Thank you, Susan. That was awesome. We have Christian.
All right. Christian, how are things?
Yes, hello, Richard.
Hello.
So I went through the process, but actually I find on the way, so I went through the 7 steps, but the last one was not as you described it, because I found that I need to go somewhere else. I explain. I started with the feeling of having hurting shoulders,
mm-hmm.
and it started. I found that it started during my holidays last August. And I started to go into this situation. I found that it was concerning my actual working environment.
Yeah.
And then there was I also felt that something was more deep underlying,
yes,
from my childhood.
Okay. Good.
Well, you know, and complicated and. Relation and with my father, for instance,
mm-hmm.
And so I started to go with with my actual work environment process. And and then regarding that, it was really interesting to go all through, but at the end it was not. I felt really really better regarding the situation. My shoulders are less heavy.
Good.
Still a bit, but that's okay. But it was not. I didn't felt self-love
okay.
At a very intense.
Okay, so you didn't you didn't quite catch that wave. I get it.
Exactly.
Yeah. So what I would suggest is you did some of the work. You made some of the progress, but you kind of sensed that there was a resonance to some childhood or earlier time in your life. And so what I really encourage you to do is to look at the emotions that you felt, you know, around that work situation and tie it back to the childhood or whenever else you had that resonance of that emotion, and see if you can dive in deeper and go back into the past, find out what energy got blocked, what emotions were blocked, and see if you can come in again fresh. Now, the definition of humility is very little understood by people. A lot of people think that humility is, you know, not drawing attention to yourself and such. But I think humility is being willing to experience everything for the first time. So the humble person sees the sunset different every single time. It goes, wow, look at that one, and it's excited every time. So little children are always humble because they're willing to experience everything as new all the time because it's always new. But as people get older, they lose humility, not that you have, but what you want to do is you want to bring a lot of humility into the self-created health action where you dive in again, said, look, I did some work, the shoulder's feeling lighter, I'm on the right track. What is deeper than this? What goes even more to the core of me? Because when you get to that core, then you should be able to bring in some feelings that it's really hard to forgive yourself. And when you get to the place where it's really hard to forgive yourself, now you're on track for a big shift.
Exactly.
And so you just have to go...
Yes, exactly. This is what I did actually, and it's exactly what you said. I said okay, so it didn't went through, so I restart, and I continued to use these shoulder problems, but it drove me somewhere else that was totally unexpected. And then it was when I was 8-10 years old, and then I continued the process, and now I am under the process of hurt. So I took the 20 minutes.
Good.
To feel that.
Yes.
I also went to the 1 hour. Of nurturing myself.
Yes.
And then I'm there now. So it was really interesting to see that I can go really deeper. And regarding that, I had a question.
Yes.
It's so the hurt is part of the release process.
Yes.
Because I was under this quiet meditation, and then I found that I was hurt.
Yes.
And then I finished the meditation, and I went to this process of 20 minutes, and I had this discussion with the person during the meditation, you know, as you propose to have a discussion with
yes.
someone that you are having problem with, And then she excused her, and after, when I went to the hurt process, it went back again, because during this process, I, you know, anger came up, and again.
Sure.
Now I'm just asking. I should go back to the quiet meditation after that, or because I feel like I should.
I think you should follow your guidance on this.
Yeah.
And just go where you feel you should go. You have the tools now.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
so use the tools. You're not going to make a mistake. You know, if you go someplace and it's not appropriate, you'll know it. And if you go someplace necessary, you'll know that. And there's nothing to do wrong here. You just go through the process and dig up as much as you can and run it through the process. Take it through the self-forgiveness and see how much explosive love you can generate on the process. And notice that each time you do it, you're going to be feeling better and better. And that's the key, is that you're moving in the right direction.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. Yeah, and then we have a week between now and we talk again, and I want to hear what happens, because you got another. This is the exciting thing about this class, is that next Saturday we'll be connecting again, and we'll see how much further everybody's been able to go with the work. So that's wonderful.
Thank
exactly.
you, Christian.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, let's hear from Marcella.
Yes, hi.
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 First of all, I just want to appreciate, you don't have any idea how much I appreciate the work you have done with this, because
Thank you. This is
absolutely amazing. Let's start here. This was a very enlightening process. It was weird, because at the beginning, when I tried to go to the anger part of the process at the beginning, I couldn't feel any anger. I wasn't angry at all.
Right, right.
I think the anger already was passed by me, so I can't explain that, but I don't feel any anger in myself.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But then when I went to the hurt or the sadness part, that was different. It was hard to spend 20 minutes feeling sad for one specific thing.
Yeah, it's very hard.
It's super hard. But it started to take me back in time. I started in the point where I thought the thing started. My problem is I had a lot of cysts in my breast, and they hurt a lot.
Yeah.
And this started like 6 years ago. So I went back to that time when something happened that I thought it was the beginning of everything, but absolutely was not. It went back in time. Since I've been since when I was like probably 3 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And little by little started to come to my memory things that I totally blocked.
Yes.
Through all my life. And this day is really moving for me.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I think I would like to do this whole process, all over again, because I think it needs to, like, you need to take the whole day or the weekend to yourself in a very peaceful environment.
Yeah.
And take your time, meditate, breathe, let it slow. I don't know. It was like a little bit of rush for me, but
Yeah. It would be great if we could just have everybody come to Hawaii for a week, and then we go through the process on one day, and then they have 2 days to kind of play with the process and work with other people, and then we can talk about it afterwards. But,
yeah.
You know, it doesn't always fit into people's schedules. That's one of the reasons we meet a week
yeah.
later.
Yeah, that's true. But it works. It works. Even if you do it with a little bit of rush, it works.
Yeah.
Which is
yeah.
amazing.
So what happened? Go ahead.
When I put every piece together, it's really funny because every single situation that came to my mind was related to myself as a woman,
mm-hmm.
not as a mother, not
yes.
as a friend, as
right.
a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously the part of myself that probably my mind think represents a woman is the breast.
No coincidence.
Yeah. And it was funny because during the time that I was going through the sadness and all the process, actually, I felt that burning sensation on my breast. So I thought, yeah, this is it. This must be it because I'm feeling it in
yes.
that part of the body.
Mm-hmm.
Then let me tell you, the inside part. That is so important.
Yeah.
When you go through, it's true that you have to go through the process in the... You know, in the order that you gave.
Yeah.
When you get into the insight and you realize, if that's the enlightening part. Because
yeah.
you realize, sometimes you realize how many things you copy.
Yeah.
And you do it again with the people that you love.
Exactly.
Not knowing it. I realized I was copying the same patterns I was live with in my family,
mm-hmm.
and I've been doing the same thing with my daughter. I've been teaching her to build that big wall I built to myself to protect myself,
yeah.
to not be hurt, and
mm-hmm.
and I've seen her doing it, and she's young, and I can
yeah.
help her now, so it's. I cannot help you enough.
Yeah, and the more honest you can be with her about the mistakes you made and what you've learned, the better it'll be.
Yeah, yeah. And in the inside part, I found the exact moment when I took the wrong decision knowingly that decision would make me live the life in the wrong way.
Yeah, yeah.
It was so good. It was so liberating just to know it because you already done that, so just go ahead and live the life now.
Yeah, and bring in all that self-forgiveness along with it.
Exactly. Then comes the forgiveness. And it was so funny because I thought, okay, here comes the forgiveness. How am I going to do this if this is a process through all my life? And I just closed my eyes and relaxed myself.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly came the figure of myself when I was 3 years old. And we started the process of forgiveness
yeah.
between us. And then came myself when I was 12 years old and
mm-hmm.
started to be, it was so beautiful. It was so beautiful. And at the end happened something that I cannot explain. And I was forgiving myself in that specific moment that I told you that I took the wrong decision. And we did the forgiveness part, and
mm-hmm.
we get into the I love you, I love you, I love
yeah.
you. And suddenly I felt like I don't know how to explain this because it was so weird. I felt like someone or something was heavy, grabbing, I don't know how to explain it. Like it was on top of me, on top of all my body except my left hand, my left
mm-hmm.
Arm, and told me, now you need to breathe me in. And I had that necessity to take the deepest breath that I could take.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it, and I opened my eyes, and I felt so peaceful in that moment.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain what happened there.
I think what I'm hearing is that you really let your higher self, the love, the connection to spirituality into you. It's sort of like you were, you know, doing some kind of other vibration, perhaps a punishment or a manipulated vibration or something, and you weren't really yourself. And that part of you that wanted to be back inside you again, where you experienced the inner peace and the connectedness, was coming back into you. It's sort of like accepting yourself back into you, where
yeah.
you can really be you again. That's beautiful.
Yeah, it was a beautiful process, even though I had to interrupt it because I had my son son visiting from college.
Yeah.
But it was absolutely beautiful. I have no words to thank you.
Thank you so much. Well, you know, I'm just really hoping to let other people know about this process and to spread the word, because we haven't been doing a good job ourselves. And so I really appreciate you sharing that with us. And interested to know how your body's going to feel different as well along the way.
Actually, I can tell you that I felt a different way. I was telling that the person that did the first part, the discovery process yesterday with me, his name is Paul.
Yeah.
I was telling him that the part that I really hated about feeling this cyst in my breast is that I was not able to give big hugs to my children because my breast hurt so much that I cannot hug them.
Right. Right.
And my son was leaving today. I left him in the airport like an hour ago. And for the first time in many years, I gave him a big, big hug, and it didn't hurt. So it was so good. It felt so good.
So that's interesting, because on a metaphoric level, you knew that it hurt to express love.
Yes.
Just expressing love would cause you pain. And
that's,
I think,
so
it's kind
true.
Of fascinating, you know, because literally just to express love was painful. And now you've done your work and you can hug. That's quite telling. You know, I'm so fascinated that there probably isn't one university in the world that teaches this process. There's not one school of psychotherapy that teaches this process. And yet, when you think about it, it's completely obvious now that you know it.
Now it's obvious.
Yeah, now it's completely obvious. When you've done the process, you go, how could people teach psychotherapy? One guy took this workshop, and he said he was a psychotherapist, and he said, this is all I really needed to know from all those years of college that I took. I didn't need to study the rats and the mazes and all that other stuff. This is what I needed to know. And it's just very gratifying to hear how successful you've been with it, even with the distractions and all. So congratulations.
Yeah. It was amazing.
Thank you. That's great to hear. All right. So,
do we have anybody else? Richard?
Yeah. So if anybody else like to share their story, it's really inspiring for everybody to hear. You don't have to, but we appreciate it because it, okay. Or questions also, if you have any questions or thoughts. All right, we have someone here.
Constantina? Are you there?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, we can hear you now.
I'm sorry. Yes, hi, good afternoon. This was really, really quite an experience for me because, you know, I've been working with other people for so long and in actually the same sort of process and have seen great results,
mm-hmm.
but never really wanted to go there myself. I mean, you do when you're working with other people.
Yeah.
You see yourself. You see, oh, my God, I feel that way, too. I've experienced that, too. But you don't really go there totally yourself. And maybe that's why a lot of us that are in this work, because we actually need it as well and have, you know, maybe prevented it. And in the world of science, as, you know, you were saying, Richard, I think I work a lot with psychologists and doctors and dentists, and I think part of the reason is, you know, from a long time ago, the world of science is so disconnected from spirituality because of the, quote, proof areas and double-blind studies, et cetera. You know, they couldn't allow that in.
I think it goes deeper than that. I think it's because of the allegiance to materialism, that the only things that are real have a material basis in reality, and therefore anything that spiritual, psycho-spiritual is taboo. It's like, you know, quantum touch or self-created health and things of that nature.
Right, but part they tell me their reasons are that there's no proof, so they can't really...
Well,
They don't feel they can use it, but now there is proof.
Well, there's plenty of proof, and Rupert Sheldrake's book, Science Set Free, lists hundreds and hundreds of studies that show that something's going on here, but they will ignore anything that doesn't fit the paradigm, and that's really where the problem is.
Correct. So I have made a lot of headway in that area with, there are now some double-blind studies, you know, on the internet, and I use that as part of a thesis for overall energy work, and have now, as you notice, a lot of it is in the hospitals and different areas now, so that they are using it. It's just that, you know, we have to get, like you said, quantum touch more out there. It's not seeable. Quantum touch is not seeable unless you go to the quantum touch website. Or if you are with a CEU group on NCBTMB, which
mm-hmm.
you know some of us now are, but otherwise it's just not seeable. And I think that's more, you know, of where, you know, we're going to talk in this, you know, later, quantum touch in that area growing and the colleges. They've asked me to teach at the colleges, but I have to talk more with, you know, quantum touch about that because there are some issues. But that all aside, this was amazing for me because it was so hard for me to kind of break down, you know, those walls, because sometimes it seems like the more you know, the more difficult you can make it, you know, because you interject all these other things instead of just sticking right to the subject. So I went through the process, and when I got to, I felt pretty good about it, but then when I got to the meditation part, the original emotions that I had listed were kind of in the background and more of, you know, the hurt and the sadness and the pain came up worse.
Right.
And as I interacted with the people, or what I thought was the original person and situation, three or four other people came, and even animals, and it was like, oh my God, what do I, you know, this is like too much, you know. How, you know, do I address you all at once or one at a time, or
mm-hmm.
start over and
yeah.
realize that this work is ongoing and I need to work with each one of you and the part of you that is me, that has created this, you know, this learning that I experienced until now. So I worked with one of the people, and at first when I cracked the shell, because I never knew that person in the way that, you know, the self that we want to see there that does apologize and forgive you.
Right.
The response was scary because it was the same as what it was when I knew the person. It
oh,
was
okay.
more of it was a fake response.
Yeah,
you know,
need to get to the deeper shell at that one.
Yeah, so I had to keep working. It was like, oh my God, it was probably 20 minutes that I was sobbing, you know, trying to,
yeah.
to, you know, express, you know, this feeling and allow the other side to open up. And finally it did. It did open with the other person with some help, I guess you could
yeah.
say.
Sure.
Spiritual help. And so, yeah, it was, I didn't feel exhausted or tired. I felt elated. I felt connected to that person. I saw my part in the creation of that
mm-hmm.
experience.
Sure.
You know, and how I allowed or brought that pain to me.
Mm-hmm.
And the pain in my neck or back, whatever you, it's kind of in my lower neck where the neck meets your shoulders and goes straight across. It did get very heavy. It did get more painful.
Yeah.
But when I was done, it was much lighter
yeah.
and freer feeling. And I just did a little bit of movement. And I made homemade soup. That was my kind of my gift, with all vegetables and broth, you know, vegetable broth and all the organic foods in my fridge. I made a warm vegetable soup, and that was kind of my treat. You can imagine this was at 2 a.m, my
okay.
time. I'm
yes.
in Florida, so
all
I
right.
didn't even, I wasn't able to even start the work until probably 11 at night.
Right.
So I made the soup at 2 a.m, and I ate the soup. And I just sat with myself for a while and my animals. And it was really beautiful. And today when I woke up, I want to say it's there. I realized, yes, you know, the same as, you know, with any client,
mm-hmm.
with yourself, you have to be gentle.
Yeah.
And keep going through the process because of, you know, it didn't happen yesterday.
Okay, so that didn't fully release. But what I find really fascinating
that's
in your story good. Is as you were dealing with the pain, the emotional pain, the neck got stiffer and more painful.
Yeah.
And that was a whisper also, say, we're on track. Because you're,
yeah.
if you're shifting the symptoms by dealing with the emotion, it means you're on track. You're in
right.
touch. And then when you finished it, it felt lighter. But what you're also telling yourself is you're not done yet because the symptoms are still showing up. And there were all these other characters that need to be dealt with. So
right.
so you made big
better.
Progress.
Yeah, it still feels much, much better today, much lighter, and much, much freer. How's that? I feel much freer, you know.
One thing I want to talk about briefly, and this taps into what you were saying, but it also is one of the subjects I like to cover today, is that sometimes we'll deal with a subject that has multiple pieces to it. And you need to deal with like maybe three different, maybe there were 100 times that this humiliation or this painful rejection or this experience happened. or the betrayals or whatever the emotion was or the situation was that was so painful, it might have happened 100 times in your life. But what you can do to shortcut the process is think of the top 3 occasions when that similar kind of event happened, and then do the process just for those 3. Don't do it for all 100. Just do it for the 3 biggest resonant ones, and they should have an overlapping effect of affecting all the ones, so you don't have to do them every single time. You just do the big ones. And you may see that there's a theme going on here, that you can just identify the theme, pick out the 3 biggest, and it sounds like you already dealt with one of them, and then process those, and it's more efficient to do it that way than to try to do it every single time. Ideally, we really don't want to have to process, because who wants to go there, right? But we do have to process. And some people in psychotherapy tend to get stuck in an identity. I'm an angry person, and I'm always being abused, or whatever the identification is. They talk about the problem, and they go back in time, and they're actually remembering and reinforcing the problem. Every time you go back and remember something, you're actually reinforcing it to some extent. That's why when we're doing this process, it's so important that we actually go through the steps as far as we can each time, so that we're not just reinforcing it. We're doing surgery. We're digging in. We're pulling out stuff. And if a person only did steps 1 and 2, they would just keep reinforcing the problem, because they keep remembering the identification with it and feeling the emotion of it, which is completely valid. But if you don't go through steps, but it's necessary to go through steps 3 through 7 so that you can get out of that redundant kind of pattern. So it's fantastic that you've done what you've done, and I really encourage you to continue, as you know you will, and tell us what happens next week when we reconvene.
Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. This is fantastic. We have another hand up.
We have Paul.
Hey, Paul.
Yes, hi, Richard. I just wanted to relay my experience with the process. I did make it all the way through, and my experience was much the same as Susan's, the first caller. You know, I found that it took a very long time to go through. I started, you know, after class and worked last night, and then finished up this morning.
Okay.
But I did get through, and it was very. I found, you know, the especially steps 4 and 5, the remorse and the forgiveness, were the ones that, you know, I tended to spend the most time on there. And,
okay.
You know, it was very emotional for me actually to go through that. But I did feel, you know, you feel that shift. You feel like this exhilaration and this like a lightness and a connectedness, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just something. It was like just this step change, kind of this jump, you know. And the amazing thing is the physical symptoms I was having were with my hands. I had a lot of stiffness. I couldn't, like, you know, flex my fingers and even make a fist. And, you know, as an avid cyclist, I was always afraid, oh, gosh, I'm going to go down the street and not be holding the handlebars tight or anything on the bike.
Yeah.
So it's funny, but after I went through this, and right now as we speak, I'm making a very, very tight, closed fist with both hands.
Mm.
This is just tremendous. It's almost like just those symptoms, I'd say probably are 80%, you know, I feel like they've, you know, it's resolved 80% or so. It feels so good. You know, and I just had to relay that to you.
Oh, thank you. Isn't it exciting that you could
actually
take the symptom, find the emotion, do the emotional process work, pass through the forgiveness, and then have the physical symptom change?
Absolutely. I just can't wait to go out on my bike today. It's going to be good. You know, I could ride without fear. So
this is
good. So I just feel really good, and I wanted to relay that to you.
Well, that's interesting. So was operating without fear part of the larger program that you were working on?
Yeah.
What a good guess, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Yeah. Well, congratulations. That's really good to hear.
And I thank you for this process. It's great. I just had a great experience with it.
Yeah, so. And if you want to write a few paragraphs or something to share it and
sure.
inspire other people, we'd love to hear back because we're as has been said, we're pretty much culturally invisible. And we really need to find ways of getting our visibility going.
Sure.
So
thank I'd
you.
Be happy to do that. Yep.
I really
You're welcome. Thank
it.
You.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah. Wow. Really good response in this class. So anybody else like to share their experience about what happened in your process? And if you got stuck, that's fine too, because these are things to talk about. Or if you just didn't have the time to go through it, you know, whatever you'd like to talk about, okay.
Okay, let's hear from Mary Ann. Hi, everybody.
Hey.
I have done some similar processing. The steps are a little different.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised at the result. I was fully expecting it to be gone this morning.
Okay.
It is 80% better. I had no pain through the night, which is fabulous.
Wow.
Slept like a rock. The self-love has been amazing. Just amazing.
Mm.
I still have traces.
Yeah.
So there must be something that I missed.
It usually it's often the case that we don't dig out every little piece that's necessary, but how fantastic to be 80% shifted in just a day.
Yeah. Everything shifted. Everything.
Wow.
I feel like a totally different person today.
That's phenomenal.
It is phenomenal. Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. And,
so I would
yeah.
like to, you know, with the email addresses and then a couple of us exchanged phone numbers, I would like to go through the process with someone else, maybe later this evening or something, to
and
see if we can pick out the rest of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, there's another thing, too, which is that most people have multiple issues. It's not just like we have one problem and you can work this again and again
yeah.
on different issues. And then throughout your life, from time to time, when something comes up, you can always go back and utilize this skill.
Yes, this one was three different occurrences in the same
okay.
area.
Yeah,
so
you have a theme.
I think there's, yes.
Right.
A little more picking apart. I think we'll have it.
Yeah. Well, like I mentioned before, the friend with the environmental allergies, every week or three, he would have to go back. Look, his symptoms started showing up again, but they were 20%, 25% of what they had been. So just enough to remind him that you used to have these really severe symptoms. And he would go back, and he would look at the variation on the symptoms. What's different about the symptoms this time? And he'd get some new keywords, and it would remind him of some issue he hadn't thoroughly dealt with, and he'd get excited. He said, oh, this is exciting that I'm going to get to love myself more now than I ever have before. So every time you get new symptoms, he'd start getting excited, thinking, wow, now I'm really going to get to love myself, which is such a wild shift from the medical model of, oh, good, now I get to take a new drug. I don't think anybody goes there.
I do have a question on
yeah,
it,
please.
Though. As I'm going through the process, when I have three different occurrences that have hit the same area, three different dates, can we do all three each step? You know,
I think,
say 3 years ago, I say the symptoms and all for it, then the year ago, symptoms for it, and the month ago, for it. Like that? Or do we need to do them separate?
Well, here's what I would suggest. Try it both ways and see what works and tell me about it.
Cool. Okay.
Because the truth is, I just come up with my best guess on what's going to work, what works for me and what works for other people. But I haven't tried all variations. Now, if you can do them together, more power to you. But if you find it doesn't seem to really hold together, then do them separately. But if you have studied my quantum touch work, you know that I'm always wanting people to experiment and to evolve the work. I don't think things are ever done. I think things are always getting better and better if we are focusing there. So try it both ways and tell me what works so that we can, you know, evolve the process.
Well, if it's possible to do more than one at a time.
Well, I think if they're on the same theme, if they're the same theme, you could perhaps do that. It might get complicated depending on how you set it up. It might work very smoothly. It may depend a lot on how closely together the things are. And if you could release the anger to person A, then B, and then C, and then you could, go through the different processes. But on the self-love aspect, I could really see it tying together where you really feel the depth of responsibility of what you've done to yourself in all of those kinds of situations simultaneously. And that could be very powerful. So maybe process the individual situations and people one by one, and then on the forgiveness and self-love part, you can do them together. That might be very effective.
Okay.
But experiment with it. Find, use your intuition and see what you come up with. I think it could be very good.
Thank you.
But how exciting that you did this and that you're on track with yourself. Yeah.
I've never felt like this before.
Isn't that an exciting thing to notice?
It is.
I mean, if we were to look at a show of hands just for a moment, how many of you feel like you had not touched this level of self-love before? Press one. Yeah, so we got about 45, well, actually the number keeps going up. About 45%, almost half of you. Actually, that's more than half because Devin and I are not in the survey. It's probably about 80%, 75-80% of you have tapped into a whole new level of self-love. That's great. Wow.
I get excited because I'm thinking about how much it's also enhanced the quantum touch.
Yes, and when you're tapping into that much self-love and you're running energy, either level one or level two quantum touch, how much better the energy is going to be. And then, as we look at and explore, which we haven't really got it down yet, how they fit together, how self-created health helps quantum touch and how quantum touch helps self-created health, how they serve each other and how they synergize with each other. That's a whole area that I don't understand very well, but I know that it could be a whole book just on that alone, but I have very little information on it yet. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Wow.
Richard.
Yes.
I just want to bring up, because I've noticed a lot of people recognizing how challenging the work can be.
Yes.
And from my experience with working with it, at first I would go long periods before I would apply it again.
Mm-hmm.
Because, because you're intentionally setting aside that space and you're getting into that deep emotion.
Right.
But what's happened for me over time is that it's kind of like almost a day-to-day thing where if the emotion comes up or if it's stirred up, I just process it in that moment. And I think when you're dealing with emotion that's been trapped in your consciousness for a long period of time, I don't know, does it intensify? Because when you process it in the moment, it's there and you move through it and you move on and you're not carrying it around for, long periods of time. And it also reminds me of your frostbite.
Yes. I probably didn't mention that in this workshop, but what Devin's referring to is the most painful thing in the world, I'm told, is to have an area that has frostbite come back to life, because all the nerves are then going to feel it. Frostbite isn't that painful by itself, but it's the thawing of the frostbite that hurts. And so Devin's bringing up some really good ideas here, which is that if you deal with it at the time that it happens and it hasn't turned into scar tissue or frostbite, then it's a lot easier to deal with in the moment when it's still fresh and fluid, rather than waiting for something to have crystallized and actually formed symptoms in your life or your body. Did you want to say anything else, Devin?
Exactly. Well, yeah, and then the whole, I don't know if anybody had this experience in particular, but anybody who couldn't really access an emotion, and I don't know how you, I guess you would intellectually understand that it's there if it's your blind spot, but if it's also so repressed that it's gone numb, that, yeah, awakening it for the first time is like, you know, it's just that more intense, I guess.
Yeah, it brings up the whole subject of numbness, too, that what I've noticed inside myself is that if I really don't want to experience something, I'll suddenly find myself like emotionally numb or traumatized. And if I can dive into that numbness and go deeper into it, I can bring up the emotion again and feel it through. And I think this is, it might be tying into like a PTSD, where somebody experiences something where it's overwhelming and the system kind of shuts down. And part of the system shutting down may be feeling numb, where, you know, if you put too much electricity through the circuits, you fry the circuits. But in a human, it's sort of like, okay, this is an overwhelm. I can't deal with this degree of pain and stress and horror or whatever it was, and I'm just going to shut the circuits down by going numb. It's like a circuit breaker on a human being, where a person just goes numb when they're not willing to feel it anymore. And then bringing that back to life again is what, you know, some of you talked about being able to feel the emotion fully that hadn't been felt forever, and whether it had gone numb or just into callus or scar tissue or whatever analogy we use. These things have to come back to life again, like the frostbite example as well. And it's great. Devin, how many times now have you been through this workshop?
This is probably like my fifth or sixth.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe seven or maybe eight. I don't know. But Devin has been helping out by being moderator. But inadvertently, you've ended up taking this workshop more than anybody.
I know.
And so maybe, you know, we get what we need, right?
Right, exactly. Well, when I first took this workshop, I really needed it. And then,
yeah,
like I said, it takes a lot of energy and courage, so you might know you want to process something, but you might not be quite ready, so there's like gaps in time. But, you know, I think letting the energy flow through has been like, you know, it's like once you clear out all the other emotional baggage, and I'm sure stuff will come up here and there that, you know, triggers past emotion, but once you clear that up, you become a vessel, and you can just let the emotions flow, right? Energy and motion, that's the intention of them, is for us to feel them in the moment, you know? Obviously, the anger one is better, you know, needs to have a better intention than just letting it flow. But I think if you know how to carve out space in your daily life for your emotions.
Yes.
Actually, as a matter of fact, I have a practice of meditating morning and in the evening, and I don't know if this is just lately, but I find myself like emotion comes up and I just let it come up and it goes away, and it just, you know, it's like this constant thing, but I actually literally am setting aside time, not intentionally to feel the emotion, but to give it the space that if it wants to come up, it can.
I think that that's really fantastic, and I love your evolution of the process and how you've let it, you know, take its own shape in your life. And I've heard it said, and I really like this a lot, that the biggest human blockage is the unwillingness to feel the intensity of our emotion. And this is really what causes the whole self-created health issue in the first place, which is that the unwillingness to experience what happens at the time that it happens, and the unwillingness of other people to experience our emotions, essentially telling us to shut up and not say anything or feel anything or express anything, causes it to get held inside. And when you consider the unfathomable absurdity of nations not being able to talk about their problems with each other and then actually killing each other because they weren't able to talk it through, you know, it just becomes beyond absurd. But at least we can work toward creating the peace within ourselves, if not on the larger scale in the outer world. Well, that's a big segue.
And you also, you didn't say it quite the way you usually say it, but a negative emotion, is it the only a negative?
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah, the definition of a negative emotion is one you don't want to feel. There was one you don't want to experience. Because the hatred has so much love underneath it. The rage has so much disappointment and hurt and anger underneath it. And underneath that is so much love. And so one point that Devin pointed out to me that we wanted to cover today also is that underneath the anger is a layer of hurt. And underneath the hurt is a layer of anger. And men, as a rule, not always, tend to feel more comfortable jumping into the anger. And women, as a rule, tend to feel more comfortable jumping into their hurt first. But for both men and women, underneath the anger is hurt, and underneath the hurt is anger, and they go layer after layer after layer. And if you're finding trouble with one polarity, try going into the other one for a while. So if you can't get to the anger, go for the hurt. And if you can't get to the hurt, go for the anger. And it helps lubricate the system and open it up so that you have more access to all the emotions that are there. So that can really be useful.
The other thing, Richard, too, since you're kind of speaking on this right now, is the idea that if you have an intense amount of anger, that it needs to be directed outward first.
Yes. Oh, that's a good point. Yes, I like talking about that subject. Thank you for reminding me. A lot of people have, over the years, nobody's done it in this workshop, so it didn't come up, but you may hear this from other people or even possibly yourself, but somebody may say, well, I did the exercise and I realized I'm not really angry at anybody else, I'm just angry at myself. Well, that's just shallow, because the truth is, no baby starts angry at themselves. No child is angry at themselves. What they do is they get wounded and they realize how unsafe it is to express the anger outwardly, but it's very safe to express the anger inwardly. So they feel comfortable with that, and then they just end up beating themselves up endlessly because that's a safe way to do. So the effective processing technique is first express, yeah, maybe you are really angry at yourself. You know, you may have really screwed up in a way that was meaningful and done something terrible and you feel terrible remorse about it and you're angry at yourself. Yeah, that can be true. But that's not an effective strategy for releasing the emotion. The effective strategy is first release the anger externally toward the other or others. And when you're done, then you can feel the anger with equal amounts of compassion toward yourself. So first, it's the anger expressed outwardly to the other, and then when you're ready, back to yourself with an equal level of compassion. and that is an effective way of dealing with self-anger or anger toward self.
Does anybody have any questions or?
Yeah, any sharings or questions? This is your time. And I like how Devin is now, you know, really helping to remind me of all the different kinds of topics that I've talked about in the past, but may not always be triggered to talk about now. It's very helpful that she's become. Maybe one day you'll be teaching this workshop.
Yeah, maybe.
I think that'd be a good idea.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I also have the notes in front of me, so I'm kind of cheating a little bit.
Well, that's, hey, I got notes in front of me too, but I tend not to read real well, so. Anybody else like to talk about their experience or have any questions?
Okay, let's hear from Margaret.
I just wanted to give you a piece of my experience. I wanted to go to another issue in the discovery.
Yes.
But I didn't have anyone to work with. So.
Oh, excuse me, Margaret, are you on a speakerphone?
Yes, I am.
Can you get on the regular phone just for a while so we can hear you better?
Sure.
Oh, thank you so much. That's so much better. Hello, Margaret.
I didn't have anybody to work with, so I used a voice recorder.
Okay.
And I just was, like, asking myself, actually, the questions and just letting myself give whatever responses instead of writing it all down at the same time.
Okay. All right.
And then what I did was I went through all the questions, and then I sat back very objectively, and I listened to myself.
Yes.
And I wrote down the key words that I thought would be good. And it was amazing to be listening to myself express my feelings and my emotions and the story, where if I had been writing it down, I would have been more concerned about, am I writing everything that I'm feeling?
Oh, okay.
But this way, it gave me a different perspective, almost as if I was listening to somebody else.
Nice,
so,
nice. Well, that's an original take on it.
Also, I wanted to say, when I got to the part where you ask for forgiveness for yourself,
yeah,
after you've accepted, you know, your part in it all and you're part of the co-creation of the program,
right.
I found that I had two aspects of my own self at two different ages. And when I would say, you know, I'm sorry and please forgive me, that I could almost visualize that myself at that age, like turning their back to me, saying, you know, not acknowledging me asking, you know, voicing my forgiveness. And I was kind of startled because I thought, oh, well, I'll forgive myself.
Yeah.
But no, this person had a whole different perspective on life at that age. And here I have a whole different perspective of life at my age. And so I just kept repeating it, like you said, and repeating it and repeating it. And eventually myself turned around and started to respond back. But it wasn't an easy process.
Yes.
You know, it was almost like I was dealing with a real person. I was dealing with a real personality there. And, you know, and I had to express how I felt and just kept saying how sorry I was. And then I had to go to the other person or myself at that age.
Yeah, right.
And, again, do the whole process. And then it was like, wow, now we're all friends. And it's like I don't feel alone. You know, I feel, like, supported within myself, which
wow,
kind of strange, but, you know.
No, that's fantastic. That's exactly as it should be. And you were self-present enough and connected with yourself enough to realize that that's a really different person you were dealing with there. That's great.
Yes.
Yeah, that's really good insight, because it is. We're not the 7-year-old anymore. We're not the 14-year-old. We're very different now. But the 14-year-old still may be stuck.
Yes, yes. And I found that at that age, I didn't have the wisdom of the years that I have now to look back at it and say, okay, well, this made sense. At that age, I was so innocent, I didn't understand what was going on. And so I could appreciate and tune into that emotion that I was at that age and just become friends with myself again. Love myself and love that aspect.
And have you noticed...
Well, thank you for that.
Yeah, have you noticed symptoms also shifting?
Yes, yes. And I noticed that afterwards, I felt really light and almost, you know, happy.
Yeah.
And like, okay, now we can party. This is good. We've, you know, set this aside and, you know, now we can go on. And we can really, you know, explore life and move on our journey rather than being trapped back there.
Exactly. I want to point out something that's pretty much universal from almost everybody that's spoken, which is that I almost, in every case, had to ask people what's happened with their symptoms, because the symptoms weren't very interesting.
Right.
But that's what triggered them. But that's what triggered the conversation in the first place.
Yes.
The triggers were the thing that was off to begin with. And then by the time you did the process, it's like, oh, I felt this forgiveness and I took myself back and I felt fresh and I felt alive and I felt loving. And oh, yeah, there were the symptoms, right? Oh, I forgot about those things. But how wonderful it is that we're actually able to be that effective that the symptoms aren't even really hardly of interest anymore.
Yeah, it didn't even, I mean, in the beginning, it was everything that mattered. It was like the focal point. And it was like, oh, I don't even remember. What was that symptom again? You know, what stuck
exactly.
me on this whole path?
Yeah, that's a really good point for people to be aware of, that this process is so profound that the symptoms don't even, you know, register as being the story anymore. And this is what I've seen from the very beginning of Quantum Touch, is that, you know, that's the minor story. The big story is the spiritual, emotional change in the person, and the freedom, and the connecting back to the love and the forgiveness, and the small story is, oh yeah, by the way, the symptoms went away.
Right.
The other thing that's cool about this, Richard, is you know, once this is kind of your normal process, you could start, you know, applying it to other areas. I had the practitioner call, and I. You know, anybody who wasn't experiencing success,
yeah.
I kind of equated it to maybe there was a fear of commitment on some level.
Mm-hmm.
And so I asked them to apply the self-created health method on maybe a traumatic experience related to commitment, whether it was like committed to healing my father, I committed to this relationship, and it, you know, when things don't turn out the way you want them to,
right.
You put everything into it. You might have emotion around that's now blocking you from really stepping in fully into your power again, and you can apply this method on areas like that, you know, and transform any area of your life if you really want to.
Yeah, that's a really terrific point. And also, Devin, if you ever hear me talking about something I haven't really spoken about in other workshops, take notes so that we can add to our note collection.
Okay, yeah, I usually do.
Good. Yeah, I appreciate that very much, because this is all going to end up in the book eventually, too. I'm going to be working on the self-created health book this coming year, and I feel like it's good to have a few years of, you know, 3-4 years of teaching it before the book comes out, so we have it as rounded and complete as possible. Excellent. Who else would, anybody else like to talk about their experiences or any questions that have come up for you?
Richard, I was actually thinking of
yeah.
a couple things. Well, I guess it's all the same thing, but in the you mentioned depression earlier.
Yeah.
So in like psychological issues, ADHD, or do you have any, you know?
Well, the depression. Yeah, we can talk about that. Depression is a case where a person feels that there is anger that they will be. They get in trouble for expressing a lot of times. And depression is very insidious, because it can be very, very tiny, microscopic upsets, but too many of them can stack up like the straw that broke the camel's back. And a lot of people don't understand depression. And a drug is not the answer to the depression. But accessing the core anger that is being expressed through the depression is the issue, but it's very hard often for a person who is in depression to access the anger. So even just talking about all the little things that are bothering them that are adding to their depression can start creating a three-dimensional picture of what the big issues are that are causing depression. Depression, you can quote me on this, is not due to a lack of Prozac. Depression is all these emotions that have been stuffed, that have been building up, sometimes like gauze-like layers, one upon another, upon another, upon another, of upsets, angers, disappointments, and so forth, that then just suddenly overwhelm the system. But the core element of depression is anger that doesn't get expressed. Primarily, anger people feel they'll get in trouble for expressing. I remember just in myself, in elementary school and all through public school, being depressed. They had me in a room with fences, and I'd get in trouble if I was to leave, and I had to sit there all day long listening to a person who was generally very bored talking about things that were very boring. And if I complained, I ended up in the coat room or in the principal's office or something if I talked about my feelings. So my choice was to go into depression and just watch the clock, which usually had a click backwards before the arm went forward. It was kind of like make it even worse. So that's a very small example, but it's a good one in the sense that it really shows that there was no outlet for the emotional expression. I remember one time in class I said to the teacher, I think I was in the third or fourth grade, and Miss Perkins was really fascinated with bird calls and bird migration. And I said, well, you know, the truth is I'm not really very interested in birds. Can we do science experiments? And that one little comment got me like the whole day in the coat room where I had to spend the day there because I was out of line for expressing my sentiments about bird calls. So... all right, so we have someone else who'd like to speak.
Yeah, Nancy.
Hey, Nancy. Nancy, are you there? Maybe she had to do an errand or something. But
can you hear me?
Hello, yeah,
can
we can now.
Me?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. I had a question about... twice, once during the breakout session and then once when I called my friend to practice. Both of them were healers. And my friend didn't have a very, very screaming problem.
Yeah.
So it was kind of difficult to find out what, you know, trace it back. But the one thing that both of them said was their frustration is quite sharp for both of them. Their frustration at being a healer and not having this solved already. And I didn't know what to say in both cases.
Well, that, you know, that's a piece of it. And there isn't much to say yet. But, you know, I kind of feel that a little bit myself that, you know, I feel a responsibility to exemplify because I'm kind of in a position where I should be able to exemplify. And I'm still... quite human, and I don't always exemplify what I want to express or talk about. And so, but that's only a piece of the puzzle. That's just like the upper surface. Let's go deeper than that and find out what's really bothering the person, what's really at issue here.
Okay, and so the first person that you know, we went to the deeper ones, and that was fine. That was perfect.
Yeah.
But the other person didn't have any deeper things going on, so It just, it, everything works, you know, and things like that.
Well, here's another thing you can explore. There are three arenas of our life: health, relationships, and successes. And if any of these arenas are out of whack, you can use self-created health to do both the diagnostic and intervention. So if you want to do healing on a wallet, for example, or healing on a relationship, you can do these things with the tools of self-created health.
Okay.
So
just shift over to another...
another arena.
She brought up her weight, but she's worked on her weight very, very well, so she didn't have very many emotions. Even though she searched for some and found them, she kept saying, no, they didn't trigger anything from the time it started. So then just shift to another arena is what you're saying.
So let's just kind of talk about weight for a second, and we'll do a hypothetical weight session. What emotions do you feel because you have all this extra weight? Well, there can be judgments, there can be humiliations, there can be all kinds of things that can come up. And that's when it gets juicy, because what are the self-judgments you have? What are the judgments from other people? What are the emotions you feel because of this? What does it keep you from doing? How does it interfere with your life? What do you imagine is inside all that fat, you know? And you start creating these pictures. And what does it keep you from doing? And one of the things that happens when I've dealt with people with excessive weight is it keeps me from being attractive. It keeps me from having to deal with my sexual issues. It keeps me from being an object of desire and being, you know, seen as an object as opposed to an attractive woman. Something like that can come up. And now we're in very deep territory, because it's amazing.
What happens is that I've known this person for years, and she's brought up all those things and evidently has worked on them all.
Okay.
So, you know, so she's really successful at having dealt with the things. And I think what happened is, just in the last year, she moved from a place where being heavy was norm, and then she moved to L.A., where it's right next to Hollywood, so it's kind of uncomfortable. But other than that, everything works, you know, and she's a happy person. People love her and everything. So,
you know, not everybody has to be, you know, skinny or thin.
And I didn't want to feed her stuff that I knew from before.
Good.
Because that
good.
Was like, so I just sat and listened, and she kept saying everything works. So.
Then it's not really a problem, so why would you bring it up?
I don't know. Other than that, she just moved to an area where it is a concern, and she does need to kind of get with the flow or something.
Well, if she wants to, then, you know, what is the emotional issue of not feeling like you fit in?
That didn't come up in the conversation. Okay.
You go where the emotion is. That's the trick.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. And because we can use this self-created health, you know, you want a healthy bank account and you want a healthy relationship. So health sort of covers the other aspects as well, although often people just think of health in terms of their body. But health is any area of your life that you want to be better in.
Mm. So it's okay to go ahead and explore other areas during the same conversation where it's not exactly the same issue they brought up. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, hey, if the Geiger counter is pointing to your left, then go that direction. If the Geiger counter is pointing to the right, go that way. You know, you follow the tick or the metal detector. It's like just follow where the energy is.
And the frustration about not having had this solved yet, do I just skip past that or something?
Well,
does that seem sharper than any of the other emotions she brought up specific to weight?
Well, I think that I would follow that one and say, well, what's the issue about being a hypocrite, you know, or what's inside there? Go dive down into those issues. Wherever the energy is taking you, go in that direction. They're telling you everything.
Okay.
And so there's something there, you know, because she's probably had a lot of judgments about people who are pretending to be something they're not, and here she is afraid that she's pretending to be something she's not.
Okay, that's very good, very on point. She has brought that up.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And so, yeah, this is, and so what I'd like to say about this, I've said it before, is that my goal is to teach people how to think, not what to think.
Right.
Because this will give you a way to approach thinking through an issue. And a lot of people think, oh, well, you know, that just all sounds very intellectual. No. The intellect is there to guide you into your emotions. And your emotions are to guide you through to your spirituality and your connection to Source and to infinite love. And so it's not like just an intellectual process, although it may sound that way at the beginning. You need a map, you need a steering wheel, and you need a gas and brake pedal. And if you're lacking any of these elements, you're not going to go very far. And if you think of like the map more like the intellect, you need that. You need the steering wheel to make the decisions, and you need the emotions to drive the system, the gas and the brake. Any one of those by itself is not going to go very far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's very good. Thank you.
Can I talk about my experience?
Please.
I think I was a little skipsy. I know how to challenge myself and really dig down deep and not run away from them.
Yeah.
But I do belong to kind of traditionally Christian way of doing things. Not, they definitely don't consider themselves traditionally Christian, but they do use things like God is omnipotent and omnipresent and therefore is more powerful than the emotion and things like that.
Yeah.
And
okay.
It does work in many cases. And when I found out that I was the one that was carrying other people's garbage, and I was mad, and I figured out why I was mad. It was very amazing to me to find out that I had chosen to appear that like I couldn't do something when I didn't want to do something.
Yeah.
And so I didn't have to carry on other people's garbage because I didn't think to put it on me. But nevertheless, I also had the one person in the family who was allowed to be angry and not me, and so therefore I had to carry the garbage that you get when they're angry, but you can't
yeah.
express it back.
Right.
And then that person felt remorse and would give me false love and give me something she thought I should have, which didn't help at all.
Yeah.
And so when I got to the love part, I could not see that person as loving, just totally fake. I couldn't go deeper.
Right.
And I tried, and I tried, and I saw her when she had been older, and I was older, and she was able to be more, self-loving in herself and could genuinely listen to me. I tried that, and that kind of worked, but not really well. And finally, the love yourself thing. I'm not sure that I can be loving without being fake, you know, and being myself to be ultimately deceitful.
Well,
and so what I finally did,
okay,
can I just finish? What I did was I just resorted to the Christian thing about God is love, and that's the only thing that's going on. And I was able to just say, okay, it's going to be okay, it's fine. And no matter what I see, they're still God's loving them, and so that's going to win out overall. And so I was able to get relief. I was able to get happy. I did feel a great sense of confidence in myself, and some of the symptoms did go away. I totally forgot about them, but when I started walking, that was just part of my problem.
Okay.
I realized I could walk better. So now, please feedback.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So when you saw your friend who was unable to love, did you try that eggshell technique where the eggshell cracked?
Yeah. It didn't work.
Didn't work. Darn.
They were just as horrible inside.
Oh, my God. Because what I do is I imagine that all the bullshit has cracked off of them. And then I see the core essence of the loving being that's underneath all that garbage. And then that part, which I guess I'm coming from an assumption that at the core of everyone is this connection to Source of infinite love of God. That's just what we are.
I had to go to the love that God is to know that that's what she is, no matter what I see.
Okay,
and then it let go.
All right. Yeah, that's sort of what I meant by the eggshell technique.
Uh-huh.
So maybe you can combine them together.
But I didn't want to stay there. I didn't want to stay there very long because I still had a bit of fear underneath, I guess. I just kind of skipped away and said, I'm good, and left. You know,
well,
so it was much shorter than what other people are saying.
Yeah. And so, it sounds fascinating because I've never talked to anyone who wasn't able to go through the eggshell thing and see the light in the person. But, man, this person must have been pretty dark.
One of those people that looks wonderful and light but is dark, you know, those people
yeah.
that you never know, and I grew up with that. So then after that, I felt so relieved, and then I got all mad at somebody else who was along
okay.
the same patterns but showed up just to deliver something, and I got all mad. And then I had a stomach ache, which I didn't recognize, and I tried to find the emotions, couldn't find any emotions. I was
okay.
just going, what is this? I was so surprised and shocked. I couldn't see any emotion. And finally, I tried every other treatment I knew. I tried running energy. I tried everything. Nothing
yeah.
worked. And then finally said, what do I do? It said, go to the bathroom. So I went to the bathroom. And then what? I just remembered that I kept having this thought of the guy that showed up to deliver something that I was so mad at. And I worked on the process with that, the release with that and stuff. And finally... But I had no way to connect it. I didn't know. I was acting like what you're saying, numb, you know? And
yeah.
But because he was there in my thought, I said, well, he must be there to be worked on. And so I did that and finally had relief, and other parts of my body ached in a releasing way. I slept a lot and thought a lot and forgave a lot and other kinds of things, just kind of in a stream of consciousness way. But kind of very sudden everything happened in a way that, yeah.
I think it may help to work with other people too, that, you know, just getting another perspective on what's going on emotionally can be really helpful, so that, you know, when the stomach ache or something comes up and it's really hard for you to feel or find what's going on there, so a lot of times getting another perspective can make it a lot easier to move through these things.
After it was all done, I was surprised to find that I had hidden it so much from myself, you know, being so numb, that
yeah.
I had forgotten that for months I've had stomach aches. I did.
Wow. Okay.
And usually, and one of the things that I don't feel a lot is I don't feel a lot of pain at lower levels, but when it gets really intense, I do. And so I just generally have a numb discomfort in the stomach area until it gets, you know, bad some days, but not always. I'd forgotten all of that during this stomach pain. I mean, I was surprised how numb a person can get.
It sounds like you're really having a lot of awakenings through all this.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And, you know, bringing things back to life again, which is fantastic.
Thank you for listening.
Well, thank you for sharing all that. That's really good. And, you know, that we're all making progress. I mean, as long as we're alive, we've got much more to learn and to grow through. And so this is a really fantastic opening and start for everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you, yes. One thing that, you know, Nancy brought up that I talk about sometimes, I have a whole chapter in my new Quantum Touch book about it, is dealing with psychopaths. And psychopaths are people who don't want to feel any compassion, remorse, or empathy. And they're ruthless. And as Nancy was talking about, they're often well disguised. And they look like the most happy, successful winners. And they make you feel really good to be around them because they've got a fantastic act. And they've been working on their act, perfecting their act for a long time. And the whole point of the act is just to manipulate people. And I don't have any answers about psychopaths except to identify and avoid them because they don't want to grow, and they will, you know, suck the lifeblood out of any good situation and use people and discard them. So I try to just kind of identify those people who are behaving ruthlessly and badly and consistently and don't show remorse from their bad behavior, and then just extricate them and remove them from my life, because it isn't working. It isn't going to work. So that's just a suggestion. All right. Is there anyone else who wants to talk about any questions or thoughts or experiences that you've had up to this point? Because this is really your time to utilize this. Okay, we got a couple people.
Yeah. Nancy, did you?
Yeah, can I just ask one more follow-up question?
Sure.
Where I had gotten to the love yourself part, I'm so used to that person's way of loving, I can't be sure that I can love myself in a trustworthy way. What would you say to that?
So what would they do?
I do things that way, too. Because
okay.
I have to stop myself, relearn.
Well, okay, let's talk about internally based self-esteem for a moment. We, as infants, everybody automatically loves themselves because that's natural. You know, every animal, every person automatically comes in with self-love. But that's just a natural state of being. You don't have to work for that. That just comes with the territory. We often get alienated from ourselves for various reasons. And those have to do with issues of self-esteem. Now, there are 7 qualities of internally based self-esteem. And self-esteem is love you have to earn for and from yourself. And no one can ever take these away from you. However, as a child, we may have our self-esteem damaged. And they'll damage it for the same reasons that you also build self-esteem. In other words, internal self-honesty is one form of self-esteem. But if a parent says, don't tell me your emotions, I don't want to hear your anger, or better yet, if you keep crying, I'll give you something to cry about. You know, those kind of famous great lines. Honesty, self-honesty is the first form of internally based self-esteem. Then integrity is, you know, doing what you believe. Self-trust is an internally based form of self-esteem where there's a possible bad outcome, a possible good outcome. You don't know which one's going to happen. The bad one is worse than the good one. In other words, the bad outcome is much worse than the good outcome. Now, if I tell you my secret and you keep it a secret, that's good. We're a little closer. But if you reveal my secret, that's a really bad outcome. It's a good outcome if you don't say anything, but it's a terrible outcome if you do. So that's a situation involving trust. And the fourth quality of internally based self-esteem. So you got the honesty, the integrity, the trust, and the responsibility. Those are the 4 pillars of internally based self-esteem. There's one of them I can't seem to remember, but there's 2 others. Those are the pillars, the honesty, integrity, responsibility, and trust. One other one is learning how to listen to the whispers of your reality. So if you keep seeing something happening over and over again, and the symptoms are getting louder and louder and louder, there's an adage that says if you learn to listen to the whispers of your reality, you don't have to hear the screams. And so that's another way of building internally based self-esteem. And I'm not remembering the other 2 right now, but the pillars are the most important ones of the honesty, integrity, responsibility, and trust. Those are the ones you can really rely on. So if you want to love yourself more, that's where to begin. That you were honest enough with yourself to find out what you were really feeling. You had the integrity to stay with the process. You took the responsibility to process those emotions. And that you trust yourself enough to actually go through the process. these are core elements that will allow you to earn love from yourself. Once you're feeling good, you realize that underneath it all, you always loved yourself. Of course you did. Everybody does. Now, people can get distorted by beliefs and say, well, only God can love me and I can't love myself and I'm a wretch and all that kind of stuff like that, which becomes very distressing when you realize that you're actually being taught the opposite of the truth, because people can love themselves and they should love themselves. And if you can't love you, who else can? Why should anybody if you can't access your own self-love? But to be able to really build on the internal qualities of self-esteem is core. I had a friend years ago, and when she was not expressing her anger, she would say things like, well, do you really think I'm pretty? And I kind of started wondering why she kept asking me this question, because she's gorgeous. And then I realized it wasn't about the beauty. It was about the self-esteem. And the self-esteem was wounded because she didn't feel safe expressing all her feelings about what was going on. And when she started being able to express the intensity of her emotions, she no longer had that question. It wasn't a valid question. It was what she was really saying is, you know, tell me I can love myself. Tell me I'm okay. But that really was not the real question. So that's a really good thing to pay attention to when it comes to self-love, is the honesty, integrity, responsibility, and trust. Oh, one of the other self-esteem ones, I remember the sixth one, I can't remember the seventh, but it's not hurting anybody consciously or unconsciously. And so being careful that you don't consciously do damage, or even unconsciously, to be very careful that we're treating people well. Because we're only treating people as we're treating ourselves. So it's another way of treating yourself well, is by caring for other people.
I think that was the problem. That was the thing that I was skittish about when I went to loving myself.
Well, that you've hurt other people.
By being numb to the world around me, I did.
By
trying to be efficient. And also, I can be numb to myself and then run myself into the ground without knowing I was doing that, because I was thinking I was doing what I wanted to do on the other hand. So that one
now
needs to be built.
And now that you understand self-forgiveness, you can take those times where you have been numb and have harmed people, and you can really feel the remorse for having done that, and shift the vibration on those things and open up whole new avenues within yourself.
Okay, thank you.
You're so welcome, yeah.
Hey, let's hear from Susan.
Hi, Richard.
Hi there.
I was just going through that experience as you were going to this, talking with this last lady about the self-love, and I was going through my experience over the last 24 hours or so. I had physical expressions while I was going through that anger. I could feel my blood pressure going up, and I could feel my stomach gurgling, and I could feel my heart burning, almost like I had a terrible heartburn.
Yeah.
And I physically was ill. Is that common?
It can happen, because what you're doing is you're stirring up the pot of all that stuff that hasn't been dealt with, and the pot gets stirred, and it should get stirred. And then when you go through it, you should feel that release and that, you know, fantastic being on the other side of it all.
Yeah, and the cramping in my arm and my hands started to let go. As I think about how I went through that, like I said, now I know why I didn't want to do it, because it didn't feel good.
Yeah, right. Well, of course. Who would want to go through something like that? It's a very hard thing to do.
Yeah, I almost wanted to throw up at one point. And, I mean, I just actually physically felt it, it wasn't just, like, internal. It was external
yes.
in me as I went through all of this. And luckily my husband's been home, and he's been really, really supportive and loving. But it is on the other side of all that. It's not pretty, this journey that we go into here. But on the other side of it, it's equally beautiful, or even more so, as we allow it to just like a wave wash over us and move into that other frequency of lightness and freedom. And, you know, it's a miracle. It's a miraculous
Exactly. Well, it's real, and that whole stirring up is just part of that whole reality that you're really dealing with these core elements of your being. And yeah, it takes you right down to the center. And it's equally fascinating to me how modern medicine has been capable of ignoring the overt and obvious connection that our emotions have to all our symptoms, and have the audacity to prescribe poison as a solution. And they have the audacity to call them side effects when they're actually direct effects of the medication they gave.
See, I'm a licensed nurse.
So you know better than I do.
I do get that. I do. I have my license, but I can't practice nursing for that very reason.
Yeah, it's just unconscionable.
Yeah.
It's unconscionable. Yeah, that people are treating people in this manner. And can you imagine if in the hospital there was a couple quantum touch practitioners and a self-created health, you know, counselor, and, you know, spent a few days with somebody and just helped them through their stuff, and how little else might be needed.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you don't sew the finger back on and, you know, take measures, but my goodness, you could probably eliminate, I don't know, 60-80% or 90% of what's going on.
Well, and think about strengthening the immune system too with this, how strong the immune system comes as we let go of all the things that have been clouding and the garbage we've been carrying and all the, you know, I think I call it darkness within that we just carry, we don't, are conscious of it. And if we all if we removed all that, just cleaned all that up, think how strong our immune systems could be. And things like this Ebola virus and all these viruses and terrible, scary things that the world seems to throw at us wouldn't be an issue at all.
Yeah, I fully concur. And so then our job is, you know, what can we do to help raise the consciousness and allow these alternatives to have a place, to exist?
Mm-hmm. First we do with our work, do our own work, I think.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. And then the power of our influence attracts more and more of opportunities to help others.
Yeah. Wise words. Thank you.
Thank you.
Richard, I would love to hear if you have a theory about the Ebola virus.
Well, I don't.
I
think that I haven't really given it that level of thought, but anything that kills you would emotionally be something you could die about. And I think that what happens is you can't it's hard to generalize on something like that. I thought it was really fascinating when AIDS was happening and a very wise being was expressing that the people who were most in need of aid or unwilling to receive aid were the ones most susceptible to AIDS. And it was kind of like a way of seeing who really loved you, because a lot of people just disappear from their lives. And sometimes just to know how much they were loved and to be able to die in front of your friends and just to find out how loved you were. Because it often happened in a community of people who felt particularly unloved and rejected, being the gay community.
Right, it's rejected from society.
Yeah, and
right.
So they got to experience, you know, like what it was like, how much love there really was before they died. So I don't know what the Ebola is about, and I don't know how far it's going to go, but I haven't really given it enough thought yet to consider what the meanings there might be, but it's a blood disorder. It's a,
what?
It destroys the blood vessels. It's a hemorrhagic thing. So blood, in generalizing, see, I don't like to generalize too much, but blood means your family because it's my blood, but it's attacking the blood. I don't know. There may be something there, but it's too early for me to give it a good theory yet.
Anybody else want to share or have any questions?
Well, we really covered.
Left.
Yeah, we really covered a lot of territory. But like I say, this is a kind of an intimate class where not as many people as some of the others. So we've really gotten a good chance to talk to everybody. And
we do have Margaret's hand up.
Okay, good.
Margaret.
Good.
I was wondering, in the part where you're exercised to release the old hurt and you do it for 20 minutes and you get really good into it,
mm-hmm.
and then after that you go into a different state of mind and you nurture yourself for about an hour.
Yeah, yeah, right.
How did you, is that essential before you move on to the next?
It really helps a tremendous amount because if you're carrying that vibration or hurt in your field, it's very hard to let it go.
Okay.
And it's a hard process for every single person, every single time. It's hard to spend 20 minutes. Ask anybody who's done it in this workshop, and they'll all tell you, it is hard. This is not an easy exercise. Can you give me an easy one? No, sorry. It's tough to spend 20 minutes, and you're going to want to change the subject 20 times, and you're going to want to make it easy on yourself and just skip over that one. It's really necessary to do it.
Okay, and the point I was trying to make was, so it's really necessary then afterwards to take that hour to nurture yourself before you
move
on?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that hour is the most important part of that exercise.
Okay. Okay.
So because it's too easy to just want to skip out on it.
Right, you just want to kind of get to the next step and then...
Yes.
And you think, oh, I don't need to nurture myself. I've dealt with that. But I can see how you get buried.
Yeah, you just want to skip over it and say, I don't need to go there. You know, just skip it. Just skip it.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah. Yeah, any more questions or anything? Because, you know, I'm going to run out of things to talk about.
Just on what she was saying.
Yeah.
I think that self-love part, just as I was telling you that, you know, allowing the emotions to flow kind of has become a part of my daily life.
Uh-huh.
So does the self-love part.
Nice.
Because once you know you've done the self-created health method a few times, you're like, oh, I know that when I took that hour-long bath, that put me in a state of, you know, bliss. And so you just go and do those things when you're not feeling maybe 100% or you just know you need to nurture yourself. You don't have to go into that deep, deep emotion the same way. This is outside of the process. But you can just go nurture yourself and learn to nurture
right.
yourself on a daily basis just as much as you learn to let your emotion flow in appropriate moments, you know? So
yeah.
even that becomes a practice in and of itself, which is another good reason to keep
Yeah, I think you're bringing up a really good point there, Devin, that if people make more of a practice of giving room for their emotions every day, so even if it was inappropriate, you know, to yell at the person in the elevator, you know, because it's just, or your boss or whoever it was, that before the day is out, that you've given room to let yourself feel all the hurt, all the anger, all the whatever it is that came up, and then to nurture yourself, to give yourself that compassionate, loving time where you're gentle and easy with yourself. especially after feeling hurt, because the wound of the hurt is significant. And then to just feel nurtured after having expressed that is really vital. So is there anybody else who'd like,
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. Is there anybody else who wants to share or has questions?
Yeah, no, to explore this further.
The other thing, too, that you've brought up in the past, Richard, that it's, I know you stray for it, you don't like generalizations, but there was, you talked about anger when they looked at cancer cells.
Oh, yeah, that was really fascinating. Well,
diabetes and...
Yeah, okay, so we can talk about those. I've actually read a study, and I cut it out at the time. I don't know where it is now, but I might want to do a search on it. But some scientists had noticed that the most virulent, dangerous, and destructive cancer, they looked angry under the microscope. So they had these weird... And then I also was hearing that the way that they determine a cell is cancerous is by its appearance. They don't really have it. I don't know if they have any, maybe this was years ago, I don't know if they've changed it, but the way they actually, they take cell samples and look at them under microscopes, and if the cells look all distorted and destructive or different, then they might say that they appear to be cancerous. But the ones that were the most dangerous cancer cells look the angriest. And from my understanding, suppressed anger is the dominant cause of emotionally self-created cancer. And anger that has not been expressed or released is the core. And that's why the patients who get angry at their doctor, angry at the disease, angry at the hospital, and so forth, they're the ones who, in the research, have lived the longest. Because they're not just going to sit back and take it. But the ones who are very, very nice, they're the ones who die the fastest. Because they don't fight against it. They're not processing that active emotion. You can almost think of anger like this volcanic lava that's building up inside the mountain. And if you don't vent it, it's going to explode. And if it explodes, it causes all kinds of damage. It's active. It's bubbling inside of us. There was a book title. I never read the book, but I loved the title. It said, when you bury your emotions, you bury them alive. And they're still there. They're still having their feelings. And so it's necessary to process them. And with diabetes or hypoglycemia, a lot of times, these are generalizations, you can't go with them all the time, but the generalizations are, it has to do with sweetness. That hypoglycemia is often a person who's being too sweet. They don't have access to express the intensity of the anger, and so they're just being sweet as a defense mechanism for this world. And then when the hypoglycemia turns to diabetes, they became bitter. So that's the general metaphor for that. Now, I may not put these things in the book about general metaphors, or maybe I will, I haven't decided yet, because I love the idea that we get to discover individually for each person what the emotional cause is, rather than going back and saying, well, this means this and this means that, like the Louise Hay book that says, well, knees mean your siblings and feet mean this and... Yeah, this is silly. This is ridiculous. And it may mean that some of the time. It may actually be true. But it's ridiculous to say that's what it is, because it's, you know, in one culture, you know, a snake may mean one thing. In another culture, a snake may mean something completely different. So to give something a consistent meaning is kind of silly.
Richard, that reminds me, I don't know what, because I've read Louise's Hay book, you know, I've had it a long, long time ago. I don't remember. And I know kidneys are often associated with anger or fear or something. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it was really interesting because my mom just had kidney stones.
Mm-hmm.
And she was also, ironically, at the same time, both her kids had left the house for the first time, like to distant places rather than just being, you know, down
and
the street.
Right.
And so it started in her womb. She thought it might have been a bladder infection, but it started in her womb, and I was talking to her about maybe the emotional component of the kidney stones, and then when we were talking, it was like kid needs.
Oh, that's funny.
Like,
that's funny.
Yeah, yeah, and so I didn't see really necessarily the generalized issue
right.
with kidneys, but she even said it. She was like something, you know, blah, 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 kids needs is what I heard.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, somewhere in there is a major detachment from her kids in this process, and that's
yeah,
where it
sometimes,
manifested.
Sometimes the language will also play a role in helping to figure out emotional cause. I find it useful, sometimes very amusing, but inconsistent in terms of being able to do it. I had my first clue about self-created health from a private reading with a spiritual teacher named Lazarus, who was 100% accurate emotionally. And I was getting a rash on my butt. And I wanted to ask what the cause of it was. And I, before these readings, I spent a lot of time trying to figure out what language I was going to use to make my questions as concise and good as I possibly can. So I was thinking, should I call it my fanny, my butt, my behind, my rear, and I was kind of just going through it, and I finally called it behind. And so I said, well, you know, I've got this rash on my left behind. And he said, well, that's because you were left behind. And that was true. I had experienced a kind of rejection that was very painful, and this was the physical attribute to it. And that got my brain working, and I was able to figure out all these questions. And I left out the pun question. You know, is there a pun that expresses this? Because it just seemed rather obscure and difficult for people to ever figure it out. But the puns can come into place from time to time. You know, like the kid knee, you know, but it's just because it has the word kid in it and knee didn't really make sense, but it's still there. But what you might find is that, you know, all the emotion she feels about the children not being near, that's a little closer to home.
Right. Well,
yeah.
it lined up, because otherwise I would have never put that together,
yeah.
But it lined up, so it was like, okay.
Exactly. But what does a kidney do? It, you know, it processes urine, and urine is pissed off, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, or it could be bladder, for that matter, or it could be, you know.
Right.
But
right.
Generally speaking, the organs tend to have some generalized meaning. You know, they store the anger and the, you know,
liver,
the toxic feelings in the liver and so forth. But I don't really like to go there. And, you know, the lungs are grief. You know, when you cry and you have all that grief. And the throat is sadness. And the heart is the heart. These are generalizations. And gut reactions and the holding on to old shit, being constipation and such. These are nice generalizations that you can sort of use, and I kind of use them a little bit as just background information. The back pain, as I mentioned, is emotional or financial support issues. So generalizations are okay, but they're only kind of like starting points or jumping off points to be able to find the deeper and more important information.
We have a question. Constantina.
Yeah.
Oh, hi, thanks. Yeah, just a note on that, Richard. Yes, I mean, I've studied Louise Hayes and many other forms of energy work as well that I use.
Sure.
Quantum touch being, as I always love to say, the icing on the cake for everything.
Nice.
But sometimes getting into like the level 2 quantum touch, which is a lot of chakra work, and it is a lot of, you know, the things that you're saying are, in a sense, a starting point. You know, with so many people, all of us, when, like you said, we first come here in love, but that there's a huge disconnect later on in life, either by teachings or by family, etc., that we are not connected in a sense to our higher self or our God self,
right,
or this unconditional love place frequency that we are able to achieve by doing this work. And so it becomes this miraculous thing when really it was always there. We
exactly.
just didn't realize we had access to it. And so I do start with that beginning work as a place,
okay.
you know, it's,
yeah.
you know, because it helps them to get grounded and to go more into this other area that they may be afraid of, and then realizing futuristically that if unconditional love is the highest frequency and it is all things, these are, you know, cliche words that people use all the time, you know, that God is love and we are all
yeah,
love.
Right.
We are all one energy. And it sounds, you repeat it, but I don't think people really get it in the sense of its truth. And
yeah.
when you do this work, what you're feeling is we really are getting to that place of connection with our higher self, our God source energy, that oneness. And so realizing that if that's the case, which I believe it is,
yeah.
All one energy, and thoughts become things and emotional things become
mm-hmm.
things.
Yeah.
And the blessings sent to Emoto, who recently passed away.
Mm-hmm.
I had the ability to work with him for quite a while, and amazing work like this, showing that thoughts become things,
right.
the cancer cells, you know. So taking it to the farthest part, I find that then I don't have to repeat quite as much, because if the person realizes that they already are, they always have been and already are that connection to everything that is, you can pull in that energy at any time, that higher self connection, to assist you with this process that you're going through. But in the beginning, you know, it's hard because we don't feel worthy of that connection. And so this process allows us to get to that place.
Exactly. There you go.
Yeah. I'm writing a book about frequency.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, this is very helpful. And I think that I took courses in spiritual psychology and energy psychology, which are scientifically proven frequency, that everything in the universe is frequency. So
right.
it just depends on where you choose to be. And so, you know, I think that we create or manifest situations in order to justify how we feel and what we can withstand at that time in our life. And
right.
so then, you know, that's the person that says, I don't have any problems, you know, at that moment, because they created that situation so that they can keep justifying them being where they are. But once they're willing to be open and go back to that childlike place, you know, where everything is available, where all the love is available, and it becomes okay to accept that love, that's when this experience that we've just done here is profound. And I'm really looking forward to, you know, reading your book when it is out and using
sure.
it, you know, along with what I'm doing, and getting excited about this. So
fantastic. Well, I really appreciate everything you're saying. This is really good.
Yeah, it's a joy. It's a joy. And I'm trying to think about ways, you know, which I'm going to get with later on, about how to, in other words, looking at the fact that it's not out there, in just the opposite way, you know, manifesting the fact that it is out there, that self-created health is everywhere, and to let it be seen.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's really important.
Yeah.
I think I've been kind of dealing with this. This is an issue I'm actually been wrestling with inside myself, is knowing that, you know, the level two exists and that human beings have these abilities that the world doesn't know about, and wanting to, if not get it accepted, just start the controversy, get the discussion going, and finding, you know, the walls that I've been hitting inside myself, trying to get the discussion started, trying to get some visibility while everybody else is trying to get attention. So, you know, it's
yeah, and I think that, you know, one thing that I've come up against that's been so important, because I do work in and out of hospitals in different places, mm-hmm. is, you know, we have to realize in this gentle, loving way that we have been taught, you know, from the beginning of childhood that we don't have any power. This is the way that our system runs, you know, on this earth.
Yeah.
Now it's changing, but if you look at the beginning when, you know, we're children and growing up, even now, you have to go to the grocery store for food, the electric, the your religion, whatever it is, you don't have the power. You have to go to someone else for everything. So then when someone like us, like me or you, finally says, you know, you can take back your power, you can do this yourself, it's extreme fear. It's like pulling the rug out from underneath the person. And so there's an immediate, you know, only my doctor can tell me that, or only my, you know, this person, because they are afraid to take that power themselves, you know, and to do
exactly.
it, because they've been taught they don't have any power.
Well, mythologically, and, you know, it's Prometheus.
Yes.
You know, it's all Prometheus myth that you're not supposed to be able to fly.
Correct.
And here you are. You're forgiving yourself. But only God can forgive you. Sorry. You know, but we just did it. And it worked.
But if you,
and,
but if you and, know that you are God force energy, that
exactly.
you are a part
there's
of
no,
that spoke.
There's no contradiction there. But,
exactly.
But
there's
the
no
myth,
separation.
But the myth is, you know, you have to get permission.
Or that you're separate.
Yeah, that you're separate. And therefore, you need to have permission from outside yourself. You need the priest or whoever to get to
Perfect.
Give you the permission. Or to give you the forgiveness. And it's,
right.
it's Promethean in that regard to take back your power and say,
right.
oh, I have the ability to do this.
Right. So my goal is when people come to me, I say, I don't want you to keep coming to me for treatments every 3 days.
Right.
I'm going to teach you how to take back your power and know that you are this energy. That you
Perfect.
Can use yourself. Not that things don't come up every day. That's why we're here.
Yeah.
You know, to learn, and the things that we learn, we're then able to help someone else. You can't always teach someone else if you haven't experienced anything.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's very helpful, but I think in the long run, this is what's happening. And I recently watched a video of a little girl who was raised in a sense of unconditional love. Homeschooled and
yeah.
all of this stuff at home, and it shows her on her bed looking at all of these notes, and she's only about 9 years old, and she's crying, and there's a person with a camera, and the person says, do you want to share? She says yes, and she says, I woke up this morning and I opened my drawer and noticed this note from my mother, and I just want to say how grateful I am for all the love, you know, in my life, and the love from my mother and the support from my mother. And she has all of these notes on the bed, and she said, so I took out all of these notes, you know, this connection to love
yeah.
and to God and to my mother is so powerful that I had to just take them all out. And she's like 9 years old. And I started to cry, and I'm thinking, wow, what would you automatically think? That this little girl's mother has passed away, and she's, you know, going through this. Because mostly we are able to express this sort of love when the person goes away, when the person dies. And so I'm watching the video, and a couple minutes later, she's, you know, through it, and the person on the other end says, that's beautiful, Zinnia, I love you. And thank you. And the little girl says, I love you, Mommy. And it just, unbelievable, that space of that love in that moment, that she, it was never repressed. So even in the day-to-day moment, she was able to express it. And that's where we need, where we're working to be.
Mm, nice.
Beautiful.
That's really beautiful. Wow, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. So, anybody else like to share anything or ask any questions or anything?
Looks like we have 5 minutes left. Is that, am I accurate when I say that? Oh, I actually, no, 20 minutes left.
Okay.
We have 20 minutes, yeah.
So this is your time if you want to utilize it. And otherwise, you know, we can just let it go. But this has been a smaller, more intimate class, so I can see that we could run out of things to talk about. Here's what I want to see. I want to have everybody in this workshop, when we meet again next week, if you've already processed it, process something else. If you have not gone through all the way or didn't feel adequate or complete, go back and do it deeper. See how far you can take this work and see what you can come up with, because this can take you very, very far. And I'm really interested to see, you know, what you come up with. And also keep track of any major insights that you get. And if anybody'd like to continue the conversation, please do so. But if not, you know, it sounds like we're kind of winding down just energetically from what we have. Devin, any thoughts on that?
Yeah. Yeah, I think we've covered everything. So as far as, you know, if anybody wants to deal with anything or comment
yeah.
with anything, that would be as far as much as we have.
Okay, well, maybe it's time to wind out and just thank everybody and move on.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, let's put everybody on speaker.
Okay, 1 second. Okay, thank you, everybody.
Okay,
thank
so
you.
Much.
Thank you.
Thank
okay.
you.
All right. See
thank
you in a
you.
Week.
Thank you.
See you next week.
Okay, bye-bye.
See you Saturday.
Bye.
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 Bye-bye.